views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mindset Makeover. During this unique show, hosts Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter accompany you on a journey of mindful thinking, true feeling, and clearing mind chatter, all to align you with deep answers and multiple possibilities that help you move forward and live in the now. You become present, clear, and unstuck, and able to live fully led by your heart. Michelle and Lisa invite you to listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. Open up to what's possible and experience a shift.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mindful Takeover, What's Possible. Hello, the show that shifts, Michelle, we're shifting.
Hello, yay!
Yay! We have to have this breakout celebration every time we start. Well, today I'm really looking forward to it because we've all heard the comment, be the best you can be. But what does that mean? Like, how do we even know? How do we recognize what our best is? There's so many layers to our best, and it's ever-changing. Sometimes we grow, and it's changing for the best, and sometimes on the flip side, we sink, and we need help. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Marcia Sirota, and she's going to help us learn and feel how to live our best and be our best self. So we're going to give her a more thorough introduction after the first break when we welcome her to the show. But, Michelle, I have a question for you.
Yes. Ready.
Okay. How do we know? Like, how do you know when you're not being your best self?
Oh, when I'm not being my best? Okay. So, you know, it's easy to, when I'm not being my best. Yeah. No, both ways. Because, you know, when you're your best, you're like, I'm awesome. Everything's great. It's a wonderful day. That's how I feel today. not about I'm awesome, but just that it feels like a great day. But, not being your best. I know this feeling. I used to call it the Mondays. How I would just freak out and start being judgy and comparing and judgy toward myself. And anytime I feel those feelings, I'm like, oh, this is not, no, I'm not, you know, vibrating on where my best self is. And so I think anytime that happens, even if I find myself being really judgmental towards someone else, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Because it's always about us, you know? So that's my biggest marker when I get really judgmental.
That's funny. You actually said judgy and comparing. And in my list of things that I was thinking about how one might, you know, what how they might be acting or like you said, vibrating, which I love that when there's a rose judging, comparing. But sometimes I also notice whether sometimes you do it or sometimes I do it or whatever, but we can become paranoid because we're thinking, what are people thinking about me? Or did I do the best? Or could I have said something different? Or, and that's because we're comparing, we're judging ourselves basically. And then we're getting paranoid going, oh my gosh, you know, did I do
and
that?
And it's like, in every eye. Totally. And it goes with that, even when you notice you're being really judgmental about other people, because when you feel good, you're not sitting there going, oh, this person sucks, that person sucks, that dog, well, no dog sucks, but you're not judgmental. When you are feeling good, you don't really have time to notice all the garbage around you. And it's like, I think what you just said, like it does boil, like it does go down to you ultimately being judgmental of yourself, but yeah, so it totally goes hand in hand. Whether we're judging ourselves or others, it's still, that's clearly not being our best self.
Yes, and you know what's funny is too, is when I think of like, had we asked, I asked the reverse on purpose because sometimes when we think about being our best self, we're like, oh, well, we're doing this and we're doing that, which we will get into. But the one really big thing that I was going to say that I think I might even do myself, I'm sure I do, is if I'm not being my best self, I withdraw. I'm withdrawn because I don't feel like I value anymore and I'm not participating. And guess what? I can't be my best self if I'm not taking action. I'm not, and when Marcia comes on after the break, she's going to really dive super deep in this. She's amazing. She's going to give us stuff on this. But I know that when even like with, so if you're not participating in life, you're not showing up for life. You know, that's a total withdrawal. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to make a decision or action, and I'm not going to shine because I'm not even going to let my light exist.
Mm-hmm. No, it totally makes sense.
It's sad when
people do it in all
in
different
life,
ways.
Though. Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad when it's. Good of us.
This is such a hot topic. But I can't imagine if I was like, I said, hey, Michelle, let's have a business call today. And, you know, we're in different countries, so it's very important to show up, you know, very presently on the call and be our best self. Because if we were to get on the phone and then I'm withdrawn, I'm not participating, or I'm judgy, I'm saying, well, everybody else in the world is doing this radio show or this coaching, and, you know, and then I was not saying, or I wasn't even saying anything, I'm not giving you any feedback, you'd be like, Lisa, hello?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, oddly enough, that's how we met. I was not being my best self. I was being a brat and a half on that call. Like, the day we met, when they were, actually, that's what happened when they're like, oh, Michelle, do you think you could offer anything? It's so funny, because also, too, like, oh, my melodrama, like, just how, I remember someone on the call was like, Michelle, so what can you contribute to that? And I actually said, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to contribute.
Did.
It's like, oh, I actually said that.
Yes.
There's probably little violins like playing right behind me.
Ah.
The self-indulgence of that. It's very funny, though. But that's how I so was not showed up to that call. I fully get your analogy because that was a real life occurrence.
I actually wasn't even thinking that, but I'm so glad you remember that, because I do want to share that with our listeners. You know, a lot of times when we go to, like, Michelle and I were on a mastermind call. That's what it was. It was a mastermind call. And sometimes, well, say you have to go to, somebody signed you up through work. Maybe at work you're now going to go to one of those, I don't maybe know if it's a training day, a sales day, or a group togetherness day, but you're just not feeling it. Like, you're not feeling your best. And you don't even want to be your medium self. And you show up, and now you're actually kind of like what Michelle said, I have nothing to contribute. Like, nothing. I have nothing that I could add that would make this better.
And also, I was taking it, because I know I have absolutely done this in the past, but I take things to extreme levels. Either I talk and talk and talk, or I'm just like, nope, not showing up. And I have to do it extra dramatically. Like, the fact that I was on the call, like, already, like, why be on the call? Don't even be on it. But
that is so cool.
I made one step also.
Yes.
Destined to meet you, that's why. Carry on.
Well, you know what I was going to say is, how about this as a takeaway from that in and of itself? Sometimes when we're not feeling our best and we know we're not being our best self, how about this? We say to the listeners, just show up. At least show up. Because when you show up, even if you're not your best self, then I wonder if Marcia is going to talk about showing up. I have no idea. Actually, it's going to be a surprise interview. But I think showing up and taking action, like what you just said, like, whether it's destiny that makes you do that, or who knows, like, why did you get on that? Like, you were, because you're very committed, though. If you say, if you make a commitment, you're on your word, though. So you said you were going to be on that call, and you were on that call.
I realize sometimes I think about it with, like, doing something creative, like writing or doing music. There's, you know, it's weird sometimes when you do music for, or writing or anything creative, that you do that for a job, because you can't always be inspired. It's not like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, I'm going to be inspired. But as you know, I work well with deadlines, and I know you don't like the word deadlines, timelines.
Timelines.
I work better with that. But if someone was like, okay, you have to go sit in the studio and work on this right now, sometimes because of it being work, I do just have to show up. It's not that I know what the song's going to be, but if I just open that session and I just show up, and sometimes it doesn't happen right then, but that action of showing up, I do think, because then you can get your best song, your best self, like, just by taking that action step. Or I could just be all, you know, I'm not going to do it.
So I wonder if the person even ourselves, if we're at that moment when we are no longer asking what's possible, okay? So that's our, we're not at our best selves, and we're like, you're not even asking. So maybe what our takeaway, again, not even our takeaway, sorry, maybe our thought that we can help everybody with right now is to at least create the I am statement as, I am open, because you're not even asking what's possible, I am open to receiving inspiration to guide me to my best self, and I am willing to show up. Maybe that's amazing.
I feel like that might be, it's incredibly powerful. The only thing is, like, you know, when you're in the really dark place where you don't, because sometimes you want to feel miserable. Like, it's just like, you're like, like garbage. You know what? I want to swim in this soup of garbage. And like, you don't really want that, but you're so, like, you know, someone gives a suggestion, you almost don't want to hear it because you're like, I just want to feel this way. And what we've talked about in previous shows, what really has helped me, even in like the lowest times, I always go back to it, is the Ho'oponopono. Like, that actually, because I can say that even in the darkest times, but it's really hard for me personally. Everyone has a different way, but it's hard for me personally in a rough time to go,
yes,
I want to see what's possible, because, you know, in a good place, I can easily say that, but in a dark place, like right now, like having a great day, everything's awesome. Like, I feel that. And I felt like that a lot lately. So, but I do totally remember that brat on the call. I totally remember that person.
You know, what's really, you know, I'll share this little, it's a personal Lisa story. If anybody hasn't got this about me yet, I personify everything. Like, everything is cute and little, and everything has feelings. Like, the carpet has feelings, like the air has feelings. So even if I would say, this day sucks, and I'm like, oh, poor day, that was really not nice, I'm so sorry, day.
So,
and then
cute.
I start laughing at myself because I said sorry to the day. And then my world, I end up laughing at myself quite often because I personify everything. And that's what, it's hard for me to, I sometimes really get angry too. I'm like, no, I want to be upset and I want to judge people. And it's, oh, see, I can't even say that word right now because I don't. You think,
you're not too judgmental, I think, though, but.
I think laughter, like we said, Ho'oponopono, which is forgiveness, and laughter, and like, I think that the forgiveness part of Ho'oponopono allows you to open up to compassion, to say, yeah, I want to feel this way right now, because, and really, why you want to stay in the soup. Oh, no, wait, commercial, hold on, you want to stay in the soup because you need time to recoup and regenerate. Okay, and we'll be back with Marcia right after the break. Surprise, commercial.
You guys are good.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Goodness, those commercials, we know when they are, but they sneak by fire. So we are going to bring Marcy on, but I want to just to say that thing, because I do want to acknowledge that when we are feeling not our best self and we are in that moment, it is good to acknowledge it, because we're shutting off the world so we can come back to ourselves to say, hey, I need a little R&R. And that's, I think that's where that whole, but what'd you call this, soup of garbage? Where did
the soup of garbage. I don't know. I don't know what comes out of my mouth half the time. It was a garbage soup. That's what it was.
Oh, well, I know that Dr. Marcia Sirota has more to say about being your best self and everything. I do want to introduce her. So Dr. Marcia Sirota is a coach and board-certified psychiatrist who coaches individuals. She facilitates groups and speaks to audiences in Canada and the United States, so both of our countries. And in 2009, she founded the Ruthless Compassion Institute, which promotes the optimum health, happiness, and success. Marcy is also a professional speaker and the author of 3 books that deal with improving relationships, habits, and happiness at home and at work. Her articles appear regularly, that's a tough word, on Huffington Post Canada, Medium, and LinkedIn. And in April 2015, Marcia won the Wellness Champion Award, being recognized as one of Toronto's, my place, top 10 healthiest business leaders. Welcome, Dr. Marcia. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
Great.
Oh, great. So listening? Happy you're here.
Yay.
Me too.
So we kind of had a big kickoff there about being not your best self, but because we wanted to let you focus on teaching us and showing us how what you think being your best self is and living your best life.
Well, I'm glad we have a little bit of time to talk about it, because it's quite a detailed conversation, because it's not just one or two things. But I think I'd like to kind of lead off with one of my favorite expressions for being our best self and living our best life, which would be like a little mantra we could even say for ourselves. So it goes like this: open heart, open mind, open eyes. So I think that is a great start to living our best life and being our best self.
Can we say it again? Let's repeat it.
Open heart, open mind, open eyes.
And open means so many
things. Pretty straightforward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But to me, open heart means being able to give and receive love, not just to others, but to yourself. Open mind means having a mental flexibility, so you're willing to look at things in a different way than you have been, willing to consider different possibilities, able to change your mind, think outside the box. And then open eyes is being aware and awake, so you see what's really going on. You're living in reality as opposed to in your fantasy or your denial. So open heart, open mind, open eyes, that's the beginning of everything to me.
Oh, I love that. I just got goosebumps when you said difference between fantasy and, no, denial. What would you, okay, wait, hold on. What was it? Cause you,
fantasy and denial, reality. I thing. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
That was really cool. So with that, and you would start off, somebody could just wake up every day or go to sleep every night or in the middle of the day, just say that to help remind them as like a little key point, like a little step, like if you're happy and you know what, after you, this kind of thing.
And I have another one they can use as well.
Oh, okay.
Here's another one that's also super helpful. So it's also just about tuning in. So first is like first thing in the morning. It's like, okay, what do I feel? That's the first. Then, all right, so what do I need? And then from there, it's what am I going to do?
Oh.
Really simple. What do I feel? What do I need? And then what do I need to do in response to these?
You might wake up feeling a certain way. Okay, so you're open. You're feeling.
Exactly.
Okay, I feel this way. Do. What do I need? And are you asking, I'm getting deep, I'm getting picky here, but when you're saying, okay, I feel this way, and it's like, what do I need? Is it, what do I need to be still happy, to be my best self, or just what do I need in general? Like, just see, let's just explore and see what comes
up. What do I need in this moment? Like, if you wake up in the morning, let's say you're in a bad mood, right? You wake up and you're feeling really grouchy. Okay, so what do I need? Maybe what you need is to go back to sleep for an hour, right? Maybe you need to get an attitude adjustment. Maybe you need some food because you didn't eat enough the night before and you're you know, really super hungry. So it's just really tuning into to real needs, not you know, pseudo needs, because sometimes we have all sorts of ideas. I need ice cream. I need chocolate, right? I need a drink. But what we really need.
But those aren't real.
When we have,
Exactly. No. Then when we're in touch with our feelings and our needs, then the action kind of evolves very naturally. So if I'm tired and I need more sleep, then I'll get more sleep. And if I can't get it now, maybe I'll take a nap in the afternoon. Or if I'm hungry and I need some real food, then I'm going to go and eat a good breakfast, a solid breakfast. If I'm you know, being really grouchy because I'm very negative, caught in some negative thinking, maybe I'll do a meditation focusing on positive energy. So there are very simple things that we can do when we connect to our feelings and our needs, and then the actions evolve very naturally out of that. So that's another simple thing we can do first thing in the day just to help us be our best self and live our best life.
That's a great
tip. Wow, I love how simple those are.
Yeah.
Everybody can do them. Exactly. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I want to make these things user-friendly and practical.
I love it.
I think that's pretty practical. When you're, and, you know, I love that you just said that the actions will come very naturally, because in the beginning I was trying to think of, okay, well, the difference between self and like happiest self and then happy life is like who we are, which is how we feel, and then what we do is our life, and that's kind of the action, I would kind of think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so
exactly.
What were you saying?
Go ahead. I was going to say, if we take action, that's when we can create the good life, because it requires that action. It's not a passive state. We have to do, right?
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. It's not a passive state.
Right.
So you're saying, like, yeah,
we have to take action.
Right. Like, so one who is just withdrawn and not showing up and not taking action is probably not going to experience that happy life.
No, because things are going to be happening to you. You're more like a passive recipient of life experiences as opposed to an active agent creating your own change.
Oh, my goodness. That's brilliant. That is so – I recognize a lot of people. Do you find that the people who come to you, to work with you, are in that passive state, or are they in the – they're taking action and that's why they're coming to see you?
No, I think a lot of people are in the passive state where things happen to them and then they complain. And so what I try to do is say, okay, complaining is a passive state because you're unhappy, but you're not doing. So we need to connect with what they want, what they feel, and then to take that action. And like I said, as soon as they connect to their feelings and their what they need, then the actions are very simple and very clear. So, but then they have to do the action. They can't just think about the action. They actually have to move. And that's the scary thing for people, right? Because when you do something, there's going to be some kind of consequence, some kind of result in the world. And that's where people get stuck, because it's like, oh, but what if somebody doesn't like it? Or what if somebody judges me? Or what if somebody pushes back against what I do? And that's when we have to, you know, find our empowerment so that we are not afraid of other people's reactions, and that we trust ourselves enough to keep moving forward even in opposition, even when other people don't understand or don't like what we're doing or don't approve or don't understand, you know, yet confused by our motivations, right? Because we're always dealing with other people. We're always dealing with our environment.
Oh, my goodness, Michelle, honestly, what Dr. Murphy just said, we were having a conversation yesterday about just in general about the way we can react or people behave and stuff. And I wish I could just, which I'm so glad this is being recorded, because I want to bundle the last thing you just said, which I could dissect into about 20,000 statements, and just let everybody hear that. I think all of that, what you just said, is you're right. A lot of people are in that passive state and complaining and then afraid of the reaction. And, oh, my gosh, that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, especially, I think it stops a lot of people from making steps. Stops a lot of people from making steps because they are scared of what other people will think. I mean, I know personally, I've totally went through that doing, even though I've always been more into self-development and not for quote-unquote words of new agey stuff, but at first I was like scared to overshare what I was doing because I was like, what will everybody think? And it's like, who cares? I can totally understand that being in that place of being like stopping yourself from your own growth if you're thinking too much of what other people will think.
For sure. And so I have another piece to add, which is the piece called Ruthless Compassion. You were mentioning my institute. So the institute actually has a purpose, and it's to help people live with ruthless compassion. And ruthless compassion is an attitude that we have toward ourselves and toward others. So toward ourselves, ruthless compassion is really being honest with ourselves about the kinds of choices we've been making, the choices that are working and the choices that aren't working, but in a loving way so that we're not beating ourselves up when we see the truth. Because as soon as we see something and we beat ourselves up, all progress stops. But if we can see the truth about ourselves and be compassionate, that self-acceptance and that compassionate attitude keeps moving us forward to create positive change. And then ruthless compassion toward others. You're liking that already.
So that was just, let me finish with the others. Okay, yes, then we have to go back to it because it's so good. Okay.
Okay. We'll go back to it for sure. So ruthless compassion toward others is also, it's seeing the truth about the people in our lives, not being in denial, not being in fantasy or hopeful, wishful thinking, but just seeing who they are, not trying to change who they are, but dealing with who they are. So if they're not kind to us, maybe we need to address it or walk away. And not depriving the other person of the consequences of their actions. So if somebody hurts us, it's not compassionate to prevent them from learning. So if we say, listen, what you did hurt me, then they have the opportunity to learn and grow. And if they have a bad reaction to our feedback, then that's information for us about who they are. It also helps us let go of our fears of judgment, because if we see ourselves in a loving way and we see others in a compassionate, ruthlessly compassionate way, then we get less hung up on how they see us, because we have to realize that kind people will always be kind, and the people who are unkind will always be unkind. So kind people will always have feedback that's positive and constructive that we can use, and unkind people will have criticisms and judgments that are useless. So we can always just focus on being around the kind people because their feedback will be useful, and the rest we can just see that that's about them, not us. So that's my ruthless compassion attitude towards self and others, and I think that really helps us live our best life and be our best selves.
Oh, my gosh. I am so blown away right now for Michelle. Oh, my gosh. Like, that was magic. That was magical to put all that together. Right now, I have about 1,000 people who I want to send to see you right now. But, Michelle, does that make so much sense when you think about that?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah.
That commercial. Okay, when we get back, can we break that down again towards ruthless compassion towards ourselves, which is massive. And then I love that
absolutely
about other people because it teaches us how to deal with them. Okay, so when we get back.
Absolutely,
oh my, God,
my
so
pleasure.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at deblivmedium.com. That's deblivmedium.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And I was going to ask you, Marcia, if when you chose the word ruthless, what is that? Mm-hmm. When you say ruthless compassion, that's a certain degree of which we are compassionate. What made you choose mm-hmm. that word?
Well, if you think about yin and yang, right? It's the dark and the light together. So ruthless compassion is not, some people think to be compassionate is to be a doormat. You know, you just sort of, everyone's nice and everyone's soft and everyone's sweet and everyone can walk all over you. So ruthless compassion is kindness with fierceness. So you have your inner warrior activated to protect yourself and your loved ones, but you are practicing loving kindness. So I like that attitude because being ruthlessly compassionate, you see the truth as it really is. You face reality and what's really going on, and you take action without worrying about whether other people will approve or like it or judge you. So you're more fearless and more brave and more empowered with ruthless compassion, and you're more willing to see the truth about yourself because you know that you will do so with compassion, and you're more willing to see the truth about others because you know that there's no point in wasting your time on people who are going to be disrespectful or unkind.
I truly am picturing a warrior of self when you say that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's like a loving warrior. Said. So it's not an aggressive warrior. It's a real warrior with love.
I think actually Michelle has been a good mentor to me. I think, Michelle, you practice this quite well. And now that I'm taking in what you're sharing with us and thinking about what Michelle has taught me and stuff, I think that it's definitely improved my life. And I know that I'm living my best self because of taking that approach. And now I have a great term for it and I want to hear. So if you can take us back to the ruthless compassionate towards self.
Yes.
Okay, basically, let's explore that because I like to pull it apart.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So we need to see what we're doing, right? Sometimes we're making choices in our life, and we keep coming into the same kinds of problems over and over again. Well, we need to see, maybe some of the choices I'm making aren't working. Maybe they're even backfiring. You know, human beings have what's called defense mechanisms, and we develop these defense mechanisms as children. They're the best bet at the time, but once we become adults, a lot of these ways of coping don't work anymore because they were the only thing we could do as children, but as adults there are many better things we can do. So we need to look at our defense mechanisms, our coping strategies, our attitudes, our beliefs, our expectations as adults and see, okay, what's working, what's not working, what's backfiring, because if I want what I want in life, these things are going to get in my way. Ruthless compassion enables us to look at our choices and go, yeah, this choice works, this choice really doesn't work, this choice hurts me, this choice hurts others, I got to let them go. And when we're ruthless, we can see it, and when we're compassionate, we don't get angry at ourselves or beat ourselves up or criticize ourselves. We just see it. We sort of put what I call that, the neutral gaze upon it. It's a meditative technique where you just, you know, you have that neutral observational gaze without judgment, without criticism. You see it and you go, that doesn't work. That has to change. That is working okay. We can keep that. That hurts me. We got to let that go. That hurts others. That's not good. So it's really a way of putting that neutral gaze on all our choices, all our actions, and discerning very clearly what works, what doesn't work. And because we are able to do it without that self-abuse, change is possible.
I have a question then. What if, as the observer, you know, the neutral gazer, is looking and saying, that has to go, but then in order to let it go, you go, ooh, that's going to hurt.
Ah, okay. So then you do what's called facing, grieving, and letting go. That's a very simple technique for releasing whatever attitudes, beliefs, expectations, emotional wounds, people. You face the truth. You give yourself time and space to grieve the loss, because even if it's something bad or a bad person in your life, you're used to it, you're attached to it, you know, it's a habit or a friend or a partner that you're, you know, comfortable with, even if it's not working. So you grieve the loss. You acknowledge that it's a loss, even if it's a loss of something you need to let go of. You acknowledge your emotional attachment and the loss, and then you grieve it. And in the grieving and in the compassionate acceptance that, yes, this is a loss, you're able to let it go and release it, and then it's done.
Wow. And would somebody need help? Like, Michelle and I both love, we love coaches and help and self-help and all that good stuff. Like, Michelle, have you ever come to a situation where you've needed something, like needed somebody else to help you get through?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's why when I met you, I was in three courses at once. I was like, I'm changing this. I was just like, and so many things contradicted each other, but I was like, whatever, I'm changing, this is changing. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, we can be the most enlightened person on the planet, which nobody is, but we always need somebody, be it a friend, be it a coach, be it a counselor. Sometimes, and, you know, Lisa and I were talking about this the other day, that we were saying, for some people and friends and family, you do need that person that's not your friend or your family, that's not too close to the situation, that you, like, that's, of course we love, 'cause that's why you need a counselor or somebody that can see it more objectively. Yeah. And can
and
help
they don't
you.
Have any best interest
so drawn
in the outcome.
So yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about being able to let go is, you know, I think a lot of us, once we realize, oh, I have to let this go, we just try to kind of muscle our way through and say, okay, I got to let it go. But if we have the compassion, that ruthless compassion enables us to say, yes, but it is a loss. It is something that we've been attached to. And in order to really be able to let it go completely, we have to have that compassionate attitude, acknowledging that it is a loss, so we can grieve it, give ourselves the time and space to grieve it, and then we can release it. I think a lot of times we can't release things because we try to muscle our way out of it and force mm-hmm. ourselves to let it go when we're not allowing ourselves to acknowledge that the pain of it. You know, the Buddhists say that that so much of our suffering comes from attachment. So I want to take it to the next level and say, well, if we acknowledge the attachment and grieve that attachment, then we can do the letting go.
I love that. And funny enough, we haven't released it yet, but we've created something called Until It No Longer Serves Me. And I think that it, to say it best, is Until It No Longer Serves My Highest Self. Yeah, we haven't released that one yet. We'll be. But okay, so that was one. So when somebody is in the middle of, like, so that question which took us here was, if somebody says, I need to let go, I need to do this, but it hurts, but it's too hard. So they go through that process. And then when they, how do they, they know that they've compassionately grieved, they've released. There's three steps. What was it?
Facing, grieving, and letting go. Yeah.
So
you face the thing that you need to let go of.
Okay.
Then you grieve it, and then you feel there's no charge anymore, right? Like there's no stickiness, right? That charge, you know, when there's something that's a charge. It's like when people are trying to overcome addiction, and they keep thinking about the thing they're addicted to. Then there's still charge. True healing of addiction, which is, you know, a couple of my books are about, is really about doing that emotional work so there's no charge. And so when you've made that kind of release, whatever it's about, addiction, a habit, an attitude, a belief, a person, there's no more charge, there's no more Velcro or stickiness, and you feel that lightness and that freedom, and you don't feel the need to keep holding on because you have truly let it go. So it's a real clear sense of that lightness and looseness and freedom. It's unmistakable.
Yes, I love that you're saying about the charge. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that, the stickiness and stuff. I actually say when you're thirsty or dehydrated, you become sticky, and then the bad sticks to you. So I see what you're saying about the charge then. So they go through that process. So now they've acknowledged it. They've given themselves time. Mm-hmm. And then is that it for the compassion for yourself, or is there more to the self part before going into others?
I think compassion for yourself also involves a certain amount of self-trust, right? You have to trust yourself that you are the person who knows you the best and who knows exactly what you need the most. So trusting yourself in the world is super important. That's part of self-compassion, because if you love and accept yourself, then it enables you to take action. And the more action you take, the more confidence you have, and then the more you trust yourself. So part of the self-compassion is self-acceptance and also self-trust. And having that self-trust enables you to take those actions. And the more you do, the more you trust yourself, the more you trust yourself, the more you can do. That's a big piece as well.
Oh, I love how it's like that swivel. Like, you have to do more to trust yourself, but you have to trust yourself to do more.
the lazy Susan spin around.
Okay, so now that we're...
That self-compassion.
Pardon me?
It starts with self-compassion.
Oh, it starts with self-compassion, yes. So we've got this person, and it's us, and we're feeling this way. We've asked ourselves in the morning, you know, what do we need? What do we feel? What do we need? What do we need to do? We've gone through that. We're feeling, we're trusting ourselves, we're doing. And now we've got some person coming into our life, and they're screwing it all up. What do we do?
Right. Okay, so I always talk about confrontation. There's healthy confrontation, and there's, you know, a counterproductive confrontation. So you have to look at the other person, and again, you have to see them. So healthy confrontation is possible when the other person actually cares what you have to say. If you're trying to have a healthy confrontation with someone who doesn't care about your needs or feelings, you're wasting your time. Those are the kind of people you just need to see, say, oh, I have to walk away from this person, right? Because if what you say doesn't matter to them, if they truly don't care, there's no point in negotiating. You can't negotiate in good faith. You just walk away. But
That's a huge point, actually, because a lot of people will keep continuing to go back to the person to try to prove them wrong or get their approval, there's no point. There's no point. You're not going to get it.
No, waste of time. That's part of it, seeing the truth about them, right? That's that clarity of vision when you have that ruthlessness of how you see the other person. So you look at that person with that ruthless eye. You see the truth. Is this a person I can negotiate in good faith with or not? If not, you walk away. But if this is a person who appears to care about you, then you express your needs and feelings. You go, you know, this is what I need to do. I want you to support me. And then you watch and listen to their response, because their response is not about you, it's about them. If they are supportive, if they're not supportive, if they're judgmental, if they're accepting, it's all about them. So you pay attention to their response, because it's giving you valuable information about who they are and how they are going to be around you. And depending on how they respond, this is a person that you can continue in a relationship with or not. If they are defensive, if they're unreasonable, if they're hypercritical, if they're undermining, if they are, a frenemy, this is not a person that you want to associate with. But if you can share your feelings and your needs in that kind of healthy confrontation, which is all about, this is how I feel, this is what I need, this is what you did that didn't work for me, that's how you do it. So you do it in a way that they can hear it, and it's not going to make them defensive. This is what you did. This is how I felt. This is what I need from you. And they respond favorably, reasonably, respectfully, with caring and understanding. Then you can negotiate and move forward with them, and then you solve the problem. So the problem gets solved one way or the other. The problem either gets solved because you walk away, or the problem gets solved because you resolve it together.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Do you time that? Okay, when we come back, I want to wrap that up because I think even if she does better than we do on the commercials. But, so when we come back, I want to wrap that up and let people know how they can get in touch with you. But there's something huge I want to say about what you just said. So everybody come back.
Okay.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
excited over this show sometimes. Okay. Sorry. Dr. Marcia Sirota. Oh, I love all of our commercials still. The biggest thing that you just said about with others, and I really wanted to highlight this, is, and it's actually, I'm highlighting a question I think is very valid and a lot of people might be asking is, what do we do when we truly believe that we've somewhere in our hearts and minds have thought, wow, this person who's pretty crappy to us, who every time I, you know, go to them and tell them this and they aren't very respectful or with their responses. And then we believe that they're actually put in our lives so that we can grow. Like, I am meant to go through this hard time so that I can grow from this. And like, what is the person who believes that this obstacle is actually their gift, but it really isn't, it's not good for them. How do they recognize that? What do they do? And that would be my biggest final question. I think it's huge.
Sure. Well, maybe this gift is really the gift of learning to let go, right? Maybe what they really need to learn from this person is that they don't deserve to be disrespected, that they do deserve to be treated with respect and love and compassion, and to learn how to walk away from somebody because they're not going to change. And maybe the other lesson is that we cannot make the other person be who we want them to be. They are who we are. And part of that ruthless compassion is ruthlessly facing the truth that this person is who they are, and that no matter how we want them to be or what potential we see in them, they're going to be who they want to be, not who we want them to be. And we have to accept that and then deal with the reality of who they are. And if the reality of who they are is not serving our needs, and is making us feel bad or is keeping us from achieving our goals, sometimes the very best thing to do is to walk away. And also, in terms of ruthless compassion to them, if they are walked away from, they have an opportunity to sit back and go, why did this person walk away from me? Is there something that I did that pushed this person away? And then what we're doing is giving them a tremendous gift because they can self-reflect and think about what they might want to change if they're willing and capable of doing that. But we've given them a gift of an opportunity to self-reflect. So we have taken care of ourselves by extricating ourselves from a counterproductive dynamic, and we've given them a gift of the opportunity to look at their behavior that has pushed us away. So it's a win-win, and that's what ruthless compassion really does. It creates win-win.
It creates a win-win. And I think the whole thing, to summarize, like kind of all of it, is that when we are living our best self and we are living our best life, it doesn't include feeling bad. So if you're feeling bad, you're not living your best life. You're not feeling living your best life. And can people become a part of your, with this ruthless compassion, do they join and become a member? How can they contact you? How can they do something with you?
They can come to my website, which is www.marciasirotamd.com. And then they can sign up for my monthly wellness newsletter. They can subscribe to my podcast. I have a podcast that comes out every 2 weeks. And they can read my blogs and just participate. And also, periodically, I'll do like invitations to people to participate in my next book. For example, this past month, I was sending them every week a chapter of my new book, and they were giving feedback. So they are going to get an opportunity to participate in the writing of the book, and then they're going to get their names in the credits. So that's a fun exercise. So we'll do that again in the future. So if you participate in my newsletter and in the podcast, you're going to have opportunities come up like that.
Well, I love that you are offering that. Actually, Michelle and I are so happy to have you come onto the show and share with us, because we love to live our best life and live our best self and life and everything around it. And we do want our listeners to recognize that. So it's MarciaSirotaMD.com. And they can go to our site as well, and they can listen here. We'll post your stuff. And Michelle, we just loved her. Thank you. We just loved having you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been a real pleasure. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk about things that I'm passionate about.
Aww. Okay, well, we'll chat with you soon, and we're going to send everybody, let them know where to get you from our side as well. So thank you again. Bye.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye. Michelle, I feel like I can already live my better life and self.
Yay, that's so great. Well, the thing is, I think people just have to recognize too that it's always a process, you know, like you're just, we
every day we might feel great. Like, you know, we feel great right now, and then 5 minutes later, you might not feel good. I like those simple questions that she said that were really great. Like, just ask yourself some simple questions. And you really, we talk all the time on the show about shifting and tiny shifts. And that's what I loved about some of those questions, that it's like, these are simple, these are doable. And like, you can shift that, you know, turn that frown upside down. It's very possible quickly. So I thought that was, we can live our best life. Even if it's in moments, it's still better than always.
I love
down.
That. And just to I was thinking that. So the beginning thing Marcia said to us, she goes, so we wake up in the morning, we kind of, that wasn't the morning one, sorry. That was in general one. The open my heart, open my mind, and open my eyes. And I think you know,
yeah,
like when
I love that.
Yeah, because you really are asking the universe to align with you to help you see the truth, to see your best self, because that's where our best self lies, right? Isn't the truth? Oh my God, I said lies in the same sentence as truth, but I meant as where it lies.
No, but it totally. I think that really makes sense, and it just allows you to be open too, because like that, having those three elements being open, because you do see things differently when you're open, and you see people differently when you're open. There are some people, and it doesn't make them bad people at all, because we all have people in our lives that maybe sometimes don't share everything with, or, but it doesn't make them bad either. You're just at different places. Yeah. I think it's important to recognize that it's not all like good versus evil. Like I think it's just. I like the
help supporting you, or
yeah, like it's important. Like supporting you, and I talk about that all the time. Is about like where you share and who you like. We talk about who you share stuff with, and because it does feel. I mean, it all reiterates everything that was said today, and I think it's great. I think there's a lot of tangible ways to live your best life, and to know it's possible, and to know every time you get one tiny setback that it doesn't mean you're not living your best life. You're just having a human experience, and you can get over it.
You know what's really funny about, I'm trying to think, oh my gosh, lifetimes ago, I remember my dad. So we usually talk about your mom, so that's my bring up of your mom, but I have to bring up my dad, and I don't think I've ever talked about my dad. My dad's just the most beautiful, awesome man. And years and years and years ago, a lifetime ago, when I was going through, I'm sure a breakup, it's usually a breakup. And I think what it was in my very younger years of not being very mature about things. And I remember saying to him, well, he's just not as far as I am. He's below me or something like that. And my dad very quickly and compassionately and fatherly, corrected me and said, Lisa, he goes, no one's ever above or below anyone. He goes, we're just in different directions.
Oh,
he goes, imagine.
That.
I know he's so cute. We're on a different plane,
he's
a different
so
ways.
Cute.
And the funny thing was, of course, first of all, he's very impressionable, and I believe him. I went, and that made me feel better because I kind of felt really horrible for saying it too, even though I was in my garbage soup. And I like that wasn't really nice of me, but I was angry. And when he said that, that's a huge thing. But now I want to evolve it. You know, 20 years later, I'd like to say that now I actually believe. That about myself, maybe the actions I took weren't better or worse or above or below some other actions I've taken, but they're just in different directions. And I want to definitely head in the direction.
Oh, that's good.
No, I'm gonna have to let him know that he's, you know, it's being upgraded the sentence now.
But I love that though. You're just heading, because sometimes, you know, you have to make pit stops. You have to like on the direction. You make some stops, you might get a flat tire, all sorts of things could happen, but a big part is our reaction to it too. And also, we talked about earlier in the show that it was, Marcia said about feeling, you know, feeling that, like acknowledging the feeling, not just like you brushing it under the rug, how we've talked about in past shows, but like really acknowledging when you may feel, because I think if you acknowledge that you're feeling something, then you can really get through it. But I love that about, it's just different directions. That's all it is. It's not higher, lower. There's no bad people out there. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some very misguided people out there, but usually people in our lives, there's not as misguided, even that misguided.
The direction. Well, I just remember is that when I used to, I truly can say this, I used to choose really bad relationships, like dating, because, and I truly believe at the time was, well, no, I'm meant to date this guy who's very disrespectful to me or holds me back or doing this because, it's an opportunity for me. And I have, thank goodness, finally realized that that's not necessary. I can find these lessons on my own. And, but I also, that was
that's
a tough
so
one
good.
Because, yeah, and I think a lot of people might even say, or that I was in that relationship to rescue them because I'm helping them. But you know what I realize now, especially after Marcia said this, is that by walking away, it gives them the opportunity. One of my latest, the bigger, longer breakups of relationships, they actually did, that did happen. And I felt really happy they came back later and said, you know what, I didn't realize that until you left, until, and now I get what was going on. And that, that kind of is a gift in it itself because they get to be a little bit of their better selves too. So
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Kind of,
quite often you're giving the gift. If it's not serving you, then it's not serving them either. It can't be, it's never one sided that, you know, oh, it's great for me and it's, or it's great for them and it's terrible for me. That's very rare that that's the case. Usually you're both not serving each other in all sorts of relationships, business, romantic, everything. So I do agree. Like sometimes the gift is to walk away.
Because it's
true.
Love,
it's
love
the same. Remember
that. Win. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Wait, let's close off with this. It's got to be win-win. If you want to be your best self and live your best life, make sure it's always win-win. You feel great. And contact Dr. Marcia Sirota and go to our website. And we forgot to make our offer, so you'll have to come to our page to find out what it is. Surprise!
Oh, yes. 432shift.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And thank you, Dr. Marcia.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.